Okay, we're using this one, not the previous two.
I think that when I woke up this morning, I thought, let's do three takes on that.
Let's cold do, open. Who wants to sync three countdowns?
But imagine we got 38 minutes into it, and then I told you that we were recording really, really, really bad external microphone input from my Bluetooth headphones that are laying across the room.
Let me preview next week's intro. Hello and welcome to the One Hoser's Photo Show. That's how that would go.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So far, reprieve. Hello and welcome to episode 437 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm not saying the five this week. The five is dead.
Oh, hang on. I'm not rolling.
Really?
No, of course I am. I'm a professional, Adam. Come on.
Okay, sorry.
Come on. It's you who's messed this up three times in a row now. Ownership, chief. Let's go.
All right.
All right. My kids are fighting in the other room. That's awesome. So if you hear that in the background, there's probably Lord of the Flies going on in my living room.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, it's right. They can't both be Simon, right?
Right.
All right. Go get the Coles notes and see what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. He was the wuss, right? Or the conscience. I'm sorry, the conscience.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the wuss. Yeah. The wuss, though. Okay. It was a long time ago. You know what? I never actually read that book.
I read it more than once. Grade, oh, what? It was like one of those ones where I had it as a literary study in like grade six, and then again right. In like grade seven. I did it at two different schools. I moved schools.
Was one of the times punishment for breaking a big window?
No, it wasn't. I hate that you bring that up. That still stings. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, too told soon.
That,
you're right.
Told that story on the weekend.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Flies one, because that was a riveter. Hey, how many times did you read Lord of the Flies?
Yeah, it was on my stories to tell at a party this weekend.
Yeah. You have the little quarterback wristband. You look down and go, all right, this week's Lord of the Flies. All right, who's getting it? Hey, one of you is Simon. Ha and then walk away.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? What did he just say? Yeah. All right. I guess we're doing a fourth take on this show now.
Yeah, let's start again.
No, forget it. What's going on? Oh, Amazon. If you want to buy books, that's how it all started, if I understand correctly. Buy them on Amazon. Click through our site and help us out.
Yeah, why not? Why not do that?
I just bought something a couple days ago. Want to hear what I bought? It's I'll bet you didn't buy this probably ever. You probably never bought this on Amazon.
Okay, let's hear.
A 7-pack of sushi rice and a massive amount of seaweed.
I have not. You are correct. I've not bought that on Amazon before.
Why would you? Why would you in Vancouver? Why would you bother making your own sushi? That would be a fool's errand.
Yeah.
In Germany, however, it's a necessity.
Okay.
Because you don't really have the sushi here. You can find it. It's not great. And so we make our own. So I made some the other night and ran out of sushi rice, which is it's special rice. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
All right. So I bought a big 7-pack and a bunch of seaweed. There'll be sushi made this week. Tell you that.
Great.
And I clicked through our site and helped myself out.
That's smart thinking on your part.
I'm good at clicking.
Okay.
what's going on in the five?
It's same old, same old. We had track and field, big day yesterday, track and field meet.
Okay, so tell me Jack was in the softball throw.
He wasn't.
What?
Yeah, he wasn't in it because, you know, they, again, this is basically a time for schools where it's very much about inclusion. So softball throw. No, I'm fine with this. I'm fine with this. And I'll tell you why. They want to be able to get every kid who wants to go to the track meet into an event. And some of the kids just, you know, because of different reasons, running just is out. Like some, a lot of running events, things like the running long jump, the high jump, there's a lot of kids that just could not participate in that. Whereas the ball throw is much more easily included for all. So Jack was a little bit sad when he didn't get picked for ball throw, because that's one that he's pretty confident he could win amongst all the kids at his age in the different schools. But instead of the ball throw, because you're only allowed so many events too, he got the high jump, which I have never seen him do. But he has always told me that, you know, because they just started doing it this year, he said, "Dad, I'm actually really good at the high jump." And I thought, I wonder what high jump looks like for grade fours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he's really good at the high jump.
Okay.
Yeah. So he won the high jump. He won the high jump for grade fours at the track meet. The funny thing was, like, it was like literally a man child against boys in the high jump. Like, he's my picture.
He was the man child.
He was the man child. Like, he came in because he had a running race. So, you know, sometimes events are at the same time, so they always make the running races priority because there's no waiting for the running races. And so he was at a 200 meter or something, or a relay or something. And so he had to come into the high jump a bit late, and they'd already done a couple jumps, and they'll back it up to whatever your starting height. But they sort of asked him, like, where do you want to start? And whatever the height they were on, it was like a meter. It wasn't anything high. He said, "Oh yeah, no, I'll start here." He did his one jump. There was maybe 25 kids in the event. He did his one jump and then had to wait a while because he made it on the first attempt, and then all the other kids get up to three attempts, which every kid needed the attempts. And then two or three, I think there's three other kids made the starting height, or whatever they were on the second height. And so they're down to four. So he'd made one jump, he'd taken one attempt, and then he was now on the second height, which was like a meter five or something, right? So it's still pretty low. All the other kids miss at that height. He makes it on again, his very next jump, and the competition's over. Like, so he's come in, he's made two jumps, and they're
just
like,
just a walk off.
So they're like, "You win." And then he's like, he's kind of looking at me like, "Okay." And I said, for his mother, can he do one more jump so I can get it on video, right? And they're like, sure, how high do you want to go? And he's like, "Well, just bump it another 5 centimeters or whatever." So then again, he takes the one attempt, he jumps that on his first try, and then he just walks off. He's like, "Yeah, walk off." So three jumps and three clears, and he said, "Dad, at school, I can make 115 or 120 at least." So it was pretty funny.
Is he going like scissor kick, or is this Fosbury?
No, he's doing the flop. That's the funny thing is, like,
do it.
And he's got the long legs and the good timing on it. And so the only thing is, I took a couple stills is like, again, this is his first year with, like, basically someone who doesn't do high jump likely coaching him. I said to Lisa, I'm like, "Let's sign this kid up for high jump camp. Like, he's totally got the technique."
That sounds terrible.
I was kidding. He just has to, I ever did the high jump, but the mechanics are all there except just getting the butt a little higher, but he's going over it so easily. Doesn't even need to at this point. But I was just thinking, I'm like, man, like, this kid could really do the long stride, the good timing, the getting really close to the bar and bending over. I'm like, I think, you know, keep you posted on years to come, but this kid's going to win the high jump at every year, unless we see a phenom imported from another district into our community.
Hey, let's cross our fingers and hope.
Yeah. I said, 2000 and what are we at here? 28 Olympics high jump.
2028. Where's that going to be? Probably Russia again.
I don't know. Is that even a Summer Olympics here?
I don't even know why I made it political.
But anyways, it was fun to watch. And again, one of those things where when you don't, so he was happy because he got pulled from the you know, the ball throw, one that he thought he was going to win, and he just wanted to win an event. And then he won that. And then he may have won long jump. They don't tell you until they have an assembly 2 weeks from now who actually won, but he's quite good at the long jump. And I feel like that was my genetics. I was very good at the long jump growing up, and I did it in high school, and I had a school record in elementary school for long jump, but I could not do the high jump. So I don't know where the genetics to do the high jump came, because that wasn't a thing for me at all.
Huh.
So there you go.
I was a softball throw guy. Although we did win. I won the came third in the province in the medley relay.
But What's a medley relay? That's not a
it's
thing.
It's like a lot of vegetables all chopped up or something. I don't know. Someone runs the 200. Someone runs the 400. And then there's different lengths altogether. And I was the weak link. It was like they had three kids to do it. They needed four. And like, all right, well, that kid's got two shoes, so he's in.
Yeah.
We'll give him the 200. Like, that's the shortest one. You can't mess it up, really. Like, any kid can pretty much handle the 200.
Right.
And, but we got third in the province, as I remember. It was a long time ago, and I'm not even sure it was a province back then. So, technically, yeah. I don't know. I'll talk to the queen. I'm sure it was something to do with the queen handed something out.
Oh, and I was just going to say this from a photographic standpoint, I did snap some photos. So I'll try to throw pictures in that don't have too many people in the background, but I'll throw a few pictures.
Well, evidently, you can shoot whoever you want now.
Yeah, there's people taking pictures of everything around, so I'm not going to be too concerned about it. But
you know what? That's not even the point I was trying to make. But now you bring up an interesting point. Does that mean like if someone has a camera in like walking around, like can you just automatically include them in the background because hey, they're participating. They're taking pictures.
Sure.
Like if you're on the battlefield and some dude's got a gun, it's like, what are you going to do? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mean to make it dark, but that's kind of how I was going.
Sure. Yeah.
No, but what I was getting at was, I don't know if you read this Ariana Grande thing, who I barely know who she is except for the news.
Okay.
And evidently she posted some pictures on Instagram of herself that a paparazzi had snapped of her prior, and basically she took these pictures that the paparazzi had snapped without her permission and then posted them on her Instagram, and now the paparazzi is suing her for $50,000, I think.
Yeah, that's bogus.
That's all bogus. I mean, don't take pictures of her then, man. Yeah, what are you thinking about?
Exactly.
Everybody on the blog sites that I read were all coming down on the side of the photographer, even though he was a jerk. They're like, oh, no, he's going to copyright. And like, no, man, you're an enemy combatant. Too bad. Too bad.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
All right. So that's what I'm saying is that the people in the background with cameras, technically you can snap with them in the background. Too bad. You brought a camera. You're in.
Well, and I think, you know, now the legalities are something along the lines of if you're in a public place where it is very much likely that someone could have a camera taking a picture, then all bets are off.
Yeah, I think it's not so much the legality. I think the legality is, hey, the horse is out of the barn. What should we do?
Yeah.
I'm going to close that door, man. And that's really where we're at. And yeah, I for one, don't really care. The end.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Over here, holy cow, winter marching on. It broke today. Like, remember we talked last week about the winter weather?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it broke today. Like, yesterday was cold. Like, yesterday was like 3 degrees. What are we doing?
I'm not sure.
I was hoping you had an answer, but I guess here we are. Yeah. Honestly, I have a ridiculously sweet tan anyways, though. That's how ridiculous it is because I still go swimming every day, even though it's cloud cover and 3 degrees. Turns out you still get a tan. So, fun fact, you can go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Not a fun fact. Didn't run off that. You were like, oh man, let's follow up on that, Alan.
Yeah, we need more detail.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll show you some tan line photos later.
Okay.
offline, because these don't. Well, ask your wife. She has them.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right. Even though it was chilly, we had an exhibition game last night.
Okay.
Because season opens on Saturday. We got rained out last week, I told you. I told you that, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then, so we open tomorrow in Stuttgart. So we're all excited about that. We should get the game in. So can't believe it. We had an exhibition game last night where we play a few times a year we play. There's a high school team, American high school that is on the one of the Army bases around here. And so they come out and play us. And it's mostly to play against the kids. Like, I don't really play if I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all ended up hitting last night, and like the catcher was, I don't know, 11-teen, like, which was kind of weird.
That's young.
Oh, yeah. And anyway, so it's mostly for our young guys on our team who are like 20 and under, right? But the good news is like the fun part is it's an exhibition game, so I get to bring my kid out. So my son he comes out, puts the uniform on, the baseball pants, the whole deal, and he gets to come and sit on the bench with his dad and go coach first base and stuff like that. So I love that. I love doing that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, did not photograph it because I was in the middle. I actually got three at-bats, four at-bats, something like that. And so that's exciting to bring my son out, and hopefully next year I'll be on the bench with him at his game, and he won't have to watch me play.
But, right.
And then lastly, I did, you can probably check now, it must be out now, I did an episode of Photo Geek Weekly with Don Komarechka last night.
Okay.
So check that out. Nothing of note.
I was going to say, what'd you guys talk about? What was the topic?
You mostly.
Okay. Just how cool I am and how much you both would like to be more like me.
A lot of long jump talk.
Yeah.
Just shocked. I was like, oh, I'm certain he's good at the high jump. I mean.
Yeah. But no, serious long jumper.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what, the high jump, long jump for sure. And then, we talked about, what did we talk about? I don't know. Listen to that show. I don't know.
All right. You really talked it up. So now I can't wait.
Yeah. It was a thing. Well, I think I'm the last minute pinch hitter. Like if someone jams out, like if somebody better cancels.
Right.
He gets in touch and I'm like, yeah, of course I'll help you out, man. So. Hence the return.
Well, I turned him down, so.
Yeah, you jammed out. I got long jump practice. So what are you going to do?
Exactly,
I did say a half a swear on there, too. Is Jackass a swear?
Yes.
Oh, then it's on, yeah. That should be an explicit labeled one. As should this one, evidently.
Yeah.
Now. I don't think Jackass is a swear. It's a kind of an animal, right?
I'm sure it's all in the context. Were you describing the animal?
Yeah, and the adjective I used started with an F. So.
Yeah, probably a swear then.
Yeah, all right. That's on me. That's on me. So if he gets shadow banned by the podcasting community, apologies. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Reminder. Monthly challenge this month for May is Evening Sky, which I keep thinking is like a Burt Reynolds sitcom, but it was not. That was called Evening Shade.
Okay.
Do you remember that? That was on TV.
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember it either, but it was on TV in the late 80s, like when you should have known. Like you were around then.
Sure.
Prime television watching time, and I don't think I ever saw that one.
Thanks for bringing it up then.
We're doing Evening Sky, though, so don't confuse the two. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge, hashtag hey hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I just did a team photo. I guess that was my one interesting from our baseball team after... We were in. We had a couple of evening games last weekend in a tournament, and one game happened to feature all of our roster. We have 12 kids on the team, and they were all going to be at the game. So I knew the game was going to start at 6 and probably end around 8. And I brought the camera to take a team photo. at that time, and you get the great light, but it's really hard to light an entire team unless you're able to get all of them to stare directly into the sun, and 12 kids, right. it's not doable. So rather than torture yourself, I ended up adding a light. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I had intended to do this with natural light. And so as a last minute, I realized like there's no way I'm going to be able to do it. It was just a little bit too late in order to do it with natural lighting other than getting them to stare into the sun. So I added flash to fill in some of the shadows and even it out. But the challenge of that was I did not have time on the fly, or I did have time, but I didn't want to bother install everybody to gel the flash. Uh-huh. So you really end up with, kind of
black
almost
and white photo.
Yeah, well, you can use it in color. It ends up looking kind of cool, but it doesn't look natural the way the actual nice golden light was. So, yeah, black and white looks better.
Right.
But black and white looks really, really good.
Well, there you go. Old-timey.
Yeah, and again, very good contrast because of the way the light is low and it hits them and the background is there's a really nice contrast. And then when you add the light to really fill in the players, then it really
you say you added a light. So you primarily lit them with like looking into the sun, or use it as a backlight?
No, I kind of used it as kind of a side light. So they're looking at me and then almost like short lighting an entire group.
Okay, and then filled it in on the other
and then
side.
Filled it in with two flashes and an umbrella from the other side, kind of feathered back the other direction, and it actually worked quite evenly across. I got my wife to hold the umbrella and a couple of lights into it, and then it worked really nice. A couple of the people on the one side, maybe two kids on the one side, were a little bit hot, but then I just kind of fixed that in post.
Right.
And then it looked quite good. But again, my problem is always getting permission from an entire roster of people to post these, so I don't. But I assure you, the black and white is much better than the color. This is a scenario where if I had gelled the flash, I would be thrilled with the photo.
Right.
Yeah.
I think what you have to do next time, though, just getting away from the photo part of it, is next time just to see what happens. Like I'm interested in the social dynamic. Right, of any situation, of what basically the construct that holds society together.
Mm-hmm.
And you taking that photo is great, and everyone, you know, the parents are around thinking, oh boy, I'm gonna get a great photo out of this. Like that's their takeaway when they walk out of there. It's like, yeah,
some of them that's the takeaway.
Some of the takeaway, you know, whether it's Dylan, Logan, or whatever, whoever's parents, they're you know, oh hey Carson, like, you're gonna get a great photo out of this. What the takeaway could be one time is when your wife holds it up there and you snap a photo and then you just lose it on her. You call that holding an umbrella?
Yeah, I should
have. Just for fun, just to see what happens, and just go up one side of her and down the other. And then, but she has to know too. And then she has to just to throw it down and start crying and run to the car. And then that's it. Then you just pack up and quietly leave. That would be an amazing shift in the dynamic.
My wife would never agree to that.
I'll talk to her. I think it's till somebody has to film this. I think you could go viral with this.
Okay. All right.
Not in a good way. Like, you're not going to look good.
Right.
But all those people just went from, I'm going to get a good photo, to, oh no. Oh no. What just happened?
Yeah.
All right. Something to think about. I'm just saying, okay. Well, you know what, listeners, if you think it's a good idea, go ahead and email Adam directly.
Okay.
And convince him to do it.
Yeah.
All right. I shot nothing of interest this week. Again, winter. I don't care. I'm not, what am I shooting? So.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Don't push me on it. All right.
Okay.
Photo challenge this week, was 17. That was what you suggested.
Right.
So I was basically combing the high schools all week looking for 17-year-olds to shoot.
Yeah.
And
sounds about right. So I
spent most of the week locked up, and turns out that's a bit awkward for the people. None of that's true.
Okay. Let's talk about your photo first, cuz I see your photo and it's interesting.
Okay, what's interesting about it?
Just the perspective is very cool looking. I like it. I the only The only criticism I have is, wow, does this guy's hands need some moisturizer or whatever that, whatever that stuff for cracked hands is on TV that I keep seeing the commercials for.
I don't know. Kid's a catcher. He doesn't care.
Oh my God. His hands are just, and even like the nail beds and everything. I mean, like not a hand model, this guy. Yeah.
Okay. Should I have a talk with him?
Yeah, well, I mean, I really like the perspective and I like the ball, but I'm just like, his fingers are so off-putting that I don't know. I can't get around that. It's almost like a horrible accident at the side of the road that you just can't look away from.
Okay.
Yeah, but I like the idea here. Maybe if you
I'll
got
have a chat with him, yeah.
If you got a better hand in here, do this shot with someone with a better hand.
Yeah, a hand like George Costanza.
Yeah, like George Costanza, yeah.
I'll get him. You know what? I think he's... I'm going to get this kid to wear oven mitts. He's a catcher, man. Guy catches both ends of a doubleheader. I'm going to cut him some slack here.
Okay, all right.
He doesn't moisturize. He wants the tough hands.
Yeah, he's
but
got,
you know what?
He's got him.
I'm 90% sure, and a lot of it's my doing, I'll be honest with you, because he's a young guy. He's one of the kids we brought over from Canada. I say one of the kids. He's the kid we brought over from Canada. It was on the cover last year, one of our covers that we shot, so look back and find it. But I think he does not wear batting gloves, which again, that's it could be because of my doing. Or his dad. I played baseball with his dad, and his dad was a tough guy and did not. I don't think he wore batting gloves either. And so.
So you're really close. I'm guessing like the camera lens is almost like, I don't know, as close as it possibly could be to the ball in order to still maintain focus.
Yeah, well, the depth of field, like the minimum focus distance with the 17 to 40 is pretty close. It's on a full frame camera, the 5D Classic, and accidentally shot at around F-16.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll get
you've
into
done
that,
some trickery.
Man.
There's some trickery here, then.
There is some trickery. Now, the reason I shot at that. Now, here's the plan. So I had this in mind. First of all, this is going to be the cover this week as well. I'm doing a double dip because later on we're going to talk about in Lightroom. We're going to talk about our favorite sliders, and this happens to be the slider grip. So ha ha ha! This is the cover.
Okay,
he's throwing a slider. So I had this in mind, and I thought, okay, so I shot this afternoon, as a matter of fact. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to get in close, get him in the background, and I'm going to bring a light, because I know what's going to end up happening. We're going to have this dark sky, or this cool sky, and he's just going to fall into darkness, and it's not going to look right. And so I'm going to light this one. I'm trying to make it interesting, just an off-camera flash, which I ended up holding myself, triggered with a cable, and I grabbed my SB24. I just grabbed my cheapest flash. I think it was about, you know, $15. And I thought, okay, that's just kind of my go-to. Forgetting that it does not go below 1/16th power. Which means like your other flashes can go down to like 1/64th power or even lower sometimes, which is just a little flick of light. Well, this puts out a tremendous amount of light as a minimum. Which oftentimes is pretty cool, but when you just want to balance it as a fill flash, like you want to expose, just underexpose a little bit with the sky and the face, and then add a flick of light to light it from close in, well, 1/16th power is way too much light.
Right.
So in order to compensate for that, I now have to dial it down. What I would have done was shot it at an F4, balanced it out, maybe an F5.6 if I could, and then just add a flick of light, but now all of a sudden I couldn't. So I had to stop it right down to an F16 and flash that light. And now his face was not in focus, but it wasn't not in focus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was blurry, but only a hint. And so I thought, oh, I can't have that. It's either not sharp enough or too sharp. Like it's right in that horrible area. So I ended up having to go and Photoshop a blur in just to make it go out, just to make it more acceptable to your eye.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there's the trickery.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, just there were some sliders involved, and which we'll talk a little bit about later. But that's it. This is not a shot I normally shoot. Like, I would never get in with a 17 or shoot something like this, but I think it kind of works, makes it really focuses on the ball, really makes it look, really makes it pop, obviously. But
yeah,
I might try to, again, find a better hand model and then shoot something like this again.
Or this is a ad for, I can't remember the company that makes it, but it's called Working Hands. It's like this for mechanics and other people that have really messy hands that they rub in for their cracked skin and fingers. something Working Hands. You might pitch them this photo for their...
Literally
for their
pitch them this photo.
Yeah, their advertising campaign. You go. Okay. Scott's Working Hands or oh, you know what it is? It's like O'Keefe's Working Hands.
O'Keefe's.
I think it's O'Keefe's.
His name's Kiefer.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
Yeah, it's not Kiefer.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it's worse than that.
Okay.
yeah. So, anyways, that's it. I think I might like yourself, I probably should have gelled this flash a little bit. Maybe played with the balance in the background, but yeah, as it was, I had to hold this because it was just me and him and my son at the park, like when we got there today, and my son could not hold a flash high enough, nor did he care, so I had to basically hold it myself, but you can see the light's coming from camera right.
Right.
Which means I had to hold it in my left hand across my body and try to aim it and balance it enough.
Pretty awkward, yeah.
It's awkward. I had to hit enough because it was hard light. Wasn't softened, which I should have brought a little softener, but I didn't. And I wanted to hit enough on him, and then enough on his, like enough on the ball, enough spilling off to his face to light him up, but not too much. And so, took about six. This one worked. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at yours. Here's your son doing the high jump.
Yeah. This is. Not a photo that I would typically take. This is kind of more that I would back up and use the 70-200 and zoom in and kind of get right to him and the bar and the action. And I took that shot as well, but I thought I need a photo challenge pick, and this is going to be it. So I took this photo. I tried to get, I mean, without being in the way of the actual event, I'm pretty darn close though. You see the mat that's draped over there. I'm kind of right at the edge there. And 17 mil. So as close as I can get to what's going on, and then 17 mils, kind of an overcast day. And then this is kind of a snapshot, but I like the point in time. I mean, the sky's not interesting. It's just overcast. There wasn't really much I could do about that in order to get his action and not be in the way of him physically jumping. This was, I thought, a pretty reasonable snapshot of the event. So there you go.
You see, this with this lens, you're in that gray area of you need to get closer, but you can't really do it without interfering with the event.
Exactly.
Right? Because the 17, what's cool about the 17 is it puts you right in the front row, and like as someone looking at the picture, the photo. And so this would look really a lot cooler if you were essentially laying on the mat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That would be the ideal, to be laying on that mat and then kind of shooting right directly into him. I mean, you'd get a super cool perspective. It would warp him a little bit too, which would look cool. But yeah, unless the competition wasn't actually going on, that's not allowed.
Yeah, it's not allowed. Even if it was allowed, you'd like, all right, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I going to be that guy?
Yeah, I did. You know. I did like the photo better in black and white than in color. In color, it was just kind of and not like it's fantastic. But I will hold on to this photo. This was kind of a cool moment. And the close ups that I took, I only took a couple of those because, like I said, he only took three jumps. So got about two or three quick little snapshots on each jump. And actually, I only took two attempts because then I took video on the last one. So I only have a couple of pictures, but. I like it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's cool. But what is cool about it is that he doesn't just necessarily jump out at you, pardon the pun, but you definitely find him.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely find him to be the subject of what's going on, and That is definitely cool.
And it's tough with this lens. Like, this isn't, I don't think, I might have cropped a tiny bit of the edge, but this isn't, I tried to keep it as true to 17 millimeter as I could, because I could have cropped in on this tighter, but you see how the vertical lines on 17 millimeter, when you're this far out, like towards the edges of the frame, things start to kind of not be vertical anymore, right? So it is kind of the tricky part of shooting something like this, like people, like you got to be careful about people in the edge of the frame, because they look really distorted. And so he looks fine, and the other kid who's kind of in charge of moving the bar and whatnot looks fine, because they're kind of in the middle of the frame. And in your scenario, you didn't really have to worry too much about that because of just the subject you're shooting. But this is tough to shoot people in a sort of a wide scene with people in it, because of what the dynamics of this lens are, and sort of how it changes perspective a little bit.
Yep. And I say every 9 months when we add this, use this lens for the challenge, I say I'm going to shoot more with this lens, and then I don't.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So I'm going to shoot more with this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Topic this week is post-production is, I mean, somewhat specific to Adobe Lightroom, which we both use, but, so that's why we call it the sliders, but it is, the favorite post-production techniques. Because I don't know if you know this, update your Adobe Lightroom yet?
Yeah, I updated everything. So with Photoshop and Lightroom, I'm running all the newest of everything Adobe.
Okay, so have you messed around with the new slider they have?
Yes, I have. The texture one, is that the one you're talking about?
The texture one, that's right. So I even added a little bit to my challenge shot, just because I haven't had as much time to mess around with it as I'd like. What are your thoughts so far?
I like it. It's neat in terms of what it does. I don't know that I can truly explain exactly what it's doing, but it does seem to change the background focus, mostly, primarily. That's what it appears to my eye to be doing.
Yeah, to me, what it looked like was, and I spoke to Dawn about it last night, and obviously Dawn had a much more technical explanation for it.
Right.
About what it does, about different frequencies.
And as he does, yeah.
Yes, he does, yeah.
Yeah.
And I yourself, I stopped listening, but to my mind, it looks like basically a lighter version of the clarity slider.
Right. Yeah. And that's why it's kind of positioned right next to the clarity slider again. It seems like it has an effect similar, but slightly different.
Right. And I guess it's what it affects, what size, what sort of objects it'll smooth out. So basically it can smooth out or add a little bit of sharpness, depending on which way you go, because there's a negative version, which sort of smooths things out. Like, I guess this is designed primarily for faces, which is kind of like the Instagram filters that are designed to just kind of smooth out people's faces.
Okay.
I say the same thing, because I have zero experience with the Instagram filters.
Yeah, I don't. That's not a thing for me.
But I've seen them. I've seen people that I know what they look like in real life, and then I've seen their pictures posted on Instagram with the smoothing filters. And my question is, who do you think you're fooling? Like, that is not you. You look nothing. And I'm not getting into the what's right or wrong here, but just saying that, like, that to me, that's one thing. If you can go overboard with any of these sliders, is you kind of get into the weird area of what you're doing.
Right.
So, with that, let's get into a little bit about our post-production techniques, your go-to stuff, and how you use sliders. So, what's the kind of the first thing that you, like, do you have a preset when you bring yours into Lightroom?
On the new setup so far, I haven't. I used to use a preset, but now I just find that I usually go to a couple of set things. I usually go to contrast. I usually add a little bit of contrast to photos, but not too much. I'm going to say that there's a hint of there. And then depending on the type of photo, you know, the shadow and highlights isn't an automatic. It's just depends on...
When you say a little bit of contrast, what's a little bit?
In terms of on the slider, somewhere around a +8, +7, +8, yeah, something in that range. So
that's
I give
very
it
low.
I give it a little bump there. And then usually I give it a little bit of a bump on the clarity as well, but usually under 10 or less. And then everything else, like, depending on, again, time of day and whatnot, often a little bump to vibrance and to saturation. Again, not usually very much, something in around a seven or eight range, usually for saturation and vibrance, just again, depending on whether or not I think the photo needs it. And then after that, again, the other ones that I use commonly would be, you know, if it was shot on a high ISO, then I might use a little bit of the noise reduction, but usually try to keep that 15 or less. So that's another go-to for me. And then I do use the vignetting effect occasionally as well, just to, again, depending on what I want to do. But I usually never make the corners more white. It's usually bringing the corners to be more dark, which I guess is negative on the slider.
Right, right. Which, yeah, you don't want to be like a, you know, grandma from the 80s with those pictures on her wall of the with the white corners. That was never a technique I liked.
Right.
Very much. Yeah, interesting that, that you go so low on the contrast. I mean, I do have an import preset, which is basically just like a starting point where I know that I'm going to, you know, I can mess around with it but from there, but I know I'm going to start here. And so my starting contrast is plus 19.
Wow.
And oftentimes I'll go higher. It's one of the few sliders that I will go high with. Everything else, I tend to I tried my best to dial everything down. Not dial it down, but keep it within very, very, you know, right or left, very, very small increments. Okay. I don't like to go too high. But contrast, I'll start at 19 and go. And like for the one that you're looking at, my challenge photo, it was pumped out at plus 30 contrast.
Wow.
Next up, what I'll do, generally leave the exposure alone, if I can. That's when I rarely change one of the sliders because I feel like I try to get it in camera.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, you know, maybe the shadows, maybe I'm exposing for the highlights and I know I have to bring the shadows up or vice versa, but I generally try to get the base exposure right and thus that slider just stays at zero. And then next up, I go with the highlights and shadows. I don't play with the whites and blacks hardly at all. I just don't find
me either. Yeah, I don't do that almost ever, unless it's a black and white photo.
Yeah, even then I skip it to something else. But the I will bring the blacks down a little bit if I absolutely need to. But the whites tend to stay the same. It's the shadows and the highlights I find the best results. And so oftentimes like, so this one here, I kind of had to save because of the super intense flash, I had to dial the highlights down to like minus 90 just to save this image. I mean, ideally I would have brought a different flash that could have dialed the power right down.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those things like, all right, too bad. What are you going to do? And then I'll boost the shadows a little bit so that we can kind of get some detail in, you know, in the shadow side of his hand or in his shirt and that. And I find those to be the most effective sliders. And now I'm going to add texture to it. This one had a little texture added, which or a lot, I guess. Because I find it to be so far like a light version of clarity, which when clarity came out, everybody kind of, not everybody, a lot of people went nuts with it though.
Yeah.
And said, oh, it's awesome. I hated clarity. To the point that I would use it sometimes, but I think the highest I would ever go would be plus 8, if that. Okay. And never negative. I would never smooth it out negatively. I would always kind of add a little punch to it, which I preferred. But this one has a plus 8 just because I was just kind of testing how it's going to work with the texture slider and kind of liked it. So that texture was plus 13, clarity is 8. Dehaze I normally use, I somehow missed it on this one. It basically kind of adds essentially a little more contrast is what the best I can understand that one. Is that what dehaze is supposed to do?
I don't know. I look at it too and yeah, I don't like the effect that it has, but I've played around with it and just realized it just kind of like, yeah, it sort of just softens everything.
Right. I find it gives a little more contrast in the dark areas.
Okay. All right.
And so there's that. And then vibrance, I try not to go too nuts with, but, you know, I'll keep it under plus 20. Fine. And as long as I leave the saturation slider at zero, which is, I will say 99.9% of the time, it stays at zero. Just not a fan of oversaturating. And that's it for the basic sliders. Oftentimes, as is the case in this photo, one of my favorite set of sliders is under the HSL, the Hue Saturation Luminance.
Okay.
Do you ever use these?
Yep, I use them all the time. Like, you know the ones for the particular color channels? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, use those a ton. I skipped over that. I didn't mention that. But yeah, really like those.
So in the case of this one, what I end up doing is, it's like I want to bring down the blues. I want to ramp the saturation of the blues up in the sky and then pull the luminance down. I want to make it darker. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I use these sliders for. But what I end up doing is I use the select tool. I click on the little next to where it says luminance or saturation or whatever. You have a little dot. If you click on that, and you end up getting like a little sort of up and down slider with the little crosshairs,
mm-hmm.
which if you then take to a certain color in your image and click on it and drag it up or down, it actually will drag just that color down in either saturation, luminance, whatever that you're trying to dial in.
Right.
So I don't use the sliders in that respect. I mean, the sliders do correspond, but I actually physically go in and click on those colors.
Okay.
And that's it. Like yourself, I don't add any extra sharpening in Lightroom. I add that later if I need to do it. Occasionally I'll add noise reduction, but again, like yourself, I'll bet you I don't go above 20.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. It just gets too out of control. And then lastly, one out of 1,000 shots gets the vignetting.
Yeah. And I'm probably a little bit higher than that, but yeah, it's not, I'm not using it on most photos.
Yeah. So I'm okay. Maybe it's two out of 1,000. Maybe.
Okay.
And those are the sliders I end up using. I guess if you get really fancy, you can get into, you know, the shadow color and, you know, going blue and the orange versus shadows but that's not really my move. I'd like to do that in camera instead.
Okay.
All right. And that is the basic sliders that the Hosers employ.
Sure.
If there's any sliders that we're missing that you love out there, feel free to let us know and we'll have a look. Okay. This month's challenge is Evening Sky, as we talked about earlier, the Burt Reynolds movie, and hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. Next week, a challenge for next week, Adam.
Do you have one?
I got one. You actually just did yours, as a matter of fact. I chose mine because I kind of blew it a little bit. I didn't blow it. I managed to save it, but I was intending for my challenge photo to be more of a fill flash than lit by flash. Okay. Considering the circumstances, and it wasn't really a fill flash situation. So the challenge next week is fill flash, which is just going to be a repeat for you.
Okay.
Considering that you just did the team photo.
That's right.
But fill flash of any kind doesn't have to be the team photo. And that'll be for next week. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find mine at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.